All right, call the meeting to order. Start with a salute to the flag.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Open the floor for public comment. John?
Is the contractor all done with his punch list?
He is not.
I was just wondering about that little stretch on John Street.
We're working on that. They put in a piece of sidewalk.
They did.
Yes. So, but there, we still have some outstanding issues that the engineer's aware of. We're still working with the contractor to get him to come in and finish. We're still holding all the retainage.
Because I can't remember ever being that being filled with water, so they put that ran their loader back and forth over that section. I don't know, it's about 50 foot back. And now there's about, the sidewalk's set down about that far. Every time it rains, it's about 4 inches of water people got to walk through to get to one end to the other. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Right in what you call the yard there, basically where it is.
Okay, so this is beyond where they added the sidewalk?
Just this side of the school.
Okay.
Where they have big hump of dirt, they had big topsoil and stuff in there.
Okay.
And, the loader, you know.
All right.
It was something black.
I'll go take a look at that. I did not mention that.
You see a whole button there and stuff like that. I don't know why they didn't do it while they're there. They ought to fix it.
They're not going to do anything unless they were asked to do it. You know how it is.
They could have been over and over.
I know. I hear you. But I will, I'll take a look at that and give them, I'll put that on the list too. Yeah, thank you. Anything else? Yes, Maxine?
Yes, good evening. I was disappointed that none of the other board members attended our meeting with LaBerge.
Well, that was not a scheduled meeting. It was not advertised, so the other board members could not attend because it would have had to have been an advertised public meeting, Sunshine Law.
There was a notice.
It has to be published in the paper in advance of the meeting. And when the word came out that that was going to happen was last Thursday, and there was not sufficient time to publish and have the time frame that is needed to establish a public meeting. But we'll be happy to take your reports since you were there.
Okay.
Anybody else? Okay, we have the minutes from the... let's see. Oh, we got a guest speaker first. Okay, Steve.
Go ahead.
Well, it's quick. You know, it's no big deal. Steve Winkley from New York Rural Water. He's got a presentation for us tonight. He's going to talk to us about is it wellhead protection?
It's now called source water
protection. Now it's called source water protection. Okay.
Thank you.
I understand that, was it at your last meeting, you passed a resolution that to participate in our program?
Yes, we did.
So, on that vein, I guess you have a trustee
One here. On this program. Yeah, we'll make sure he gets it.
I guess this came up, in the comprehensive, the master plan, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Back in, many years ago, I had started a program with, a source water protection program with the village, but our funding, we had about a 2 to 3 year lapse in our funding, and that was about the time of that, and unfortunately things didn't restart. But make a long story short, I passed out a little fact sheet about our program. We're federally funded, and we provide assistance to towns and villages with drinking water protection. And, of course, everyone in Rensselaer County is pretty aware now of the importance of drinking water protection with the whole PFOA business. But it's a good idea anyway to do what you can to protect your drinking water in a small village like this. Your water system is one of your largest assets, so it's important to do what you can to protect it. And so we're federally funded to provide a free service to the community. It's a planning process where we go through and come up with what's called a source water protection plan for the village. And I asked that communities pass a little resolution just to make you aware of what the steps are in the process and to make you aware of what's involved with the program. And I understand you did that. So I don't have any real fancy-dancy presentation tonight. I just kind of wanted to go over what our program entails and what the next step would be and what I'm asking from the village for assistance.
Okay.
Basically four or five steps involved. The first thing, I have to work, I'm a hydrogeologist, that's a person who deals with groundwater, so I'm certainly capable of doing this plan all by myself, but that's not the purpose of our program. The purpose is to get the community involved. So I have to work with a what we call a planning team. That could be an existing group like your master plan or maybe your planning board, or we can have a special small ad hoc committee. But it's just so that I develop a plan that represents the needs of Nassau, and then it's up to the village to basically implement what's in the plan. So it needs to represent what is important to Nassau. We map the water supply resources to be protected, and I took the liberty of doing some maps tonight for you. A couple different maps. Of course, there's a keen awareness in this area with the landfill. Am I pronouncing that right when I say, what's the name?
There have been a number of complaints about the chickens. And I know from my time on the board back in the 90s, there used to be an ordinance in the village that prohibited the keeping of any type of farm animals and it was not just chickens. It was horses, cattle, poultry, sheep, swine, all of that. I don't know what happened to that law. We can't seem to find it, whatever. So I want to start a conversation, and I'm starting it by proposing that we add to the regulations in section 58-3 that it shall be unlawful for any horses, cattle, poultry, sheep, or swine to be housed or kept within the limits of the village of Nassau, or for any person to suffer or permit any horses, cattle, poultry, swine, or sheep owned or possessed by him or of which he shall have charge to be kept, to be housed or kept within the limits of the village of Nassau. So this would essentially prohibit anyone from keeping these types of animals, well, these specific animals within the village limits. Being as that we have at least three homes that I am aware of that are currently housing chickens, my discussions with some legal folks is that if we were to pass this law, that those parties would be grandfathered and could keep those animals for their life until they died, and then they would not be able to replace them. But the question is, do we want to, I think we should ban the other ones since they're not a problem yet, but we should take a little foresight in that end of it. But we should discuss what we want to do with chickens.
Well, I think the town of Sand Lake just adopted a law regarding chickens that they had to be housed and no rooster, or something like that. City of Troy, you can have chickens. Okay, in Manhattan, you can have chickens. So I think there's some provisions we may be, I would like to have my own chickens, but housed, not run around all over the yard. I mean, I think we have to look into, people now like to have food that they know is safe to eat. I mean, I don't know if other towns or cities have adopted a law to house chickens. There's got to be something we can do to...
You're talking about regulating them rather than prohibiting them altogether.
Yeah, make sure they're housed and not running around, destroying other people's properties and... roosters. I mean, the reason why the town of Sand Lake, I believe, don't get me wrong, I think my brother lives out there. He lives in Burton Lake, and there's a rooster that all day long, that's all you hear. And there was complaints at the town, so the town came up with a law saying that, you know, no roosters, you know.
Or I heard you're getting rid of all the chickens and you're fishing.
What's that?
I heard you're getting rid of all the chickens. That's what
but I mean,
yeah,
you
chickens
know,
can be noisy too, but.
I just think if I had a chicken coop and I kept it on my own property, and, you know, I think some of the law reads it can't be within 100 feet or so, you know, there's, we'd have to research it. You know, I don't think I'd really want to limit.
Well, most of the properties, I mean, you know, are small. I know my lot is only 90 feet wide, so yeah. There's no way I'm going to have a chicken coop that's 100 feet from the property line.
No, that's the problem. The problem being is the people who have chickens are their neighbors are the ones who are getting annoyed about it. You know?
Yeah, because they're running around.
Well, they're noisy, too. Chickens, you know, they're noisy. So
are dogs.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm a little on the fence.
Well, I'm not, you know, like I say, I'm not proposing that this be addressed tonight, but I do want to start this conversation. And I don't want to let it go too long either. So my plan is that, you know, I'm putting it out there for discussion, and I want the public to know about it because I'd like to get some feedback from you guys in comment time. You know? Well, you know, I mean, when we have comment time, we can comment on it. You know, I mean, that's, I want to let you all know what we're talking about so you can have that opportunity.
Yeah, I'd like a public consensus on this one for me.
Absolutely. And, I mean, you know, this would require a public hearing and, you know, the whole gamut, but I'm not ready to go there yet.
Right, okay.
You know, because, but if you're thinking maybe we should look at something for, you know, control, we could get a copy maybe of Sand Lake's law. I could call over there maybe and get a copy of that and, you know, and tailor that to us.
See what other places are offered.
Yeah, well, I've extensively researched the e-codes for the various towns and villages in Rensselaer and Albany County. And there are some out there that talk about conditions for which you can have them, the lot sizes you can have, you know. But most of them are really not conducive to our situation. I mean, they're talking like you can have them if you have more than 3 acres of land, you know. So maybe one person in our village could have them, you know. So, but we need to think about that and address it and talk about it. But I'll see what I can find if you're thinking that, you know, we should also have look at some kind of control. So we can look at that too. Any other discussion on that? Anybody else? Any of the board members want to throw something in on that?
I would just like really to look very closely at the urban chicken laws because, you know, in Rensselaer County, you know, we may be a village out in the middle of kind of nowhere, but we are actually more densely populated than any other town anywhere in the county. Even North Greenbush and East Greenbush were far more densely populated than those, even though we're small. We're in a much smaller area. So, but, you know, I'd like to see what the urban areas, if they have any kind of requirements where the lot sizes are very small. So if they've been able to figure out a way to do it that works, I'd like to sort of model it off there if we could.
All right. I'll start looking specifically for in the cities then, if I can find some. All right. The other thing that I had was this issue with abandoned buildings. I did some research. I found a very good law, I think, from the city of Troy. And this is, I mean, it's several pages long. I'm not going to read it all. But basically what this talks about is if a building is unoccupied for 3 months or longer, it becomes determined that it is a vacant building. And if it's a vacant building, then it must be registered as a vacant building with the village. So that means that the owner of the building has to file a plan explaining how he or she will comply with, you know, the compliance is what they intend to do with the building. Are they going to sell it? What are you doing to sell it? Are you going to renovate it? What are you doing to renovate it? We have to have a local contact if it's owned by a person who is like a bank owns it. We want a local contact. We want to know who's going to do the maintenance on the building during the interim period. And it talks about fees for this thing. We can discuss those. The fees that are in here are the fees that were proposed for City of Troy. It's a $250 fee for filing as a vacant building. There's provisions in the law so that if the person is going to renovate the building and there's a time frame that's acceptable, they're going to get a building permit. The fee for the vacant building could be waived in lieu of the fee for the building permit so that you only have to do one or the other. There's a lot of provisions in here that can, as long as there's a dialogue and discussion going on between the owner of the vacant property and the village as to what's going to happen, and there's a schedule and the things are happening, then there's provisions in here for fees to be waived. If there are no, those discussions are not going on, then each January 1st, in this particular case, the fee for the first, if the building is, after it's established as a vacant building, after the January 1st comes along, that's the anniversary date of this thing that they picked. The fee for if the building is still vacant and we don't have a suitable plan, the fee for the following, for that first year is $500 if it's not, if we don't have this in place. If it goes by for a second year and we still haven't heard anything and there's no plan in place, there's a fee of $1,000. If it goes by a third year and there again no fee in place, $1,500. And for the fourth and every year thereafter, it's $2,000 per year, and for buildings that are vacant. Now you take and you look at you know, like the mobile station that's been sitting there for like 10 years. I mean, certainly if we had this law in place, perhaps I think we would have gotten a little bit more action on that a lot sooner than is happening now. We also have numerous homes that are owned by the banks. The banks are not making any real effort to sell them because as soon as they, you know, they know that they've been, you know, froze up or gutted out, you know, all the electric and plumbing is gone, and as soon as they sell them, they've got to write off the losses, and they don't want to do that. I think we need to have something on the books to encourage that. So I would encourage the board members to take a look at this law, and we could have some discussion on this also next month.
Can I add one thing about
yes.
The state legislature is looking at to the same problem on a statewide basis, and there is
zombie homes, right?
Yeah, there, you know, the Attorney General has been looking at that and trying to deal with that in particular ways, and also this new I think it's called DFS, Department of Financial Services. It's a new sort of consumer piece that they set up, and they have a piece that would set up a statewide electronic registry for abandoned buildings, more particularly for abandoned residences. And so we're going to know, you know, the legislature is going to be out of session within a week from today. But I know that's still in the mix, or something like that is still in the mix. So we'll know by this time, we'll certainly know probably within the next 10 days whether anything like that went through the legislature. And then, of course, we'll see whether the governor approves it. But I presume it's his agency working on this, so I assume if his agency works something, he's going to sign it. But one of the issues there is that they don't really address in the legislation is what's the effect of this registration on all the local registration statute? Because what's happening is, you know, Cahoe's got an abandoned building, local law. Troy's got one. The same kind of thing like what you're, I mean, this is derived from. In other words, you want to identify the buildings, get them registered, get a fee for them, and so forth. But if this statewide goes through, thing go through, it might preempt some piece of this. Like they might do, you know, one and two family residences or something like that. So, but we'll know by the time we're talking about this next month, we'll know what, if anything, the state did, at least at this, sorry, at this point.
Okay.
Good to know.
Can we comment?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think this is a great start. One of the things that I really appreciated about it is that it does get at that registry idea, and that's been an effective tool for a lot of different things, not just abandoned buildings, but creating that registry. And it's very specific about the property owner's responsibilities. Part of what's in here talks about the condition that the properties have to be kept in, specifically about the way that the integrity of the structures, so that they're boarded up and they're properly maintained, so that you don't have the problems where we had over on Maple Ave with the house that got basically molded out, and you know, cost, you know, so much for the person who actually came in there to fix it. So it really gets at those issues, and you know, because a lot of the properties they're salvageable, but if they're allowed to sort of just deteriorate, they're not going to be salvageable, and we're going to end up with a lot of empty lots, and we don't want that. So
I like this idea too. I think it's good. I got a question legal wise. Let's say we put this into place and you get no response. They don't pay the $250 initial fee.
Right.
What happens? How do you go after them? What do you do?
Well. It's going to be easier. One way would be to do the local law, would be to say if they don't pay the fine, then it's imposed, it's put onto the property taxes next year, and then, of course, it's foreclosed on. And that helps us in the sense that if it's a tax levy, the county reimburses us, blah, 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 blah.
It goes to the county?
The other problem you have there, what you've got built in there, is fines and jail time. So pretty clearly, if you've got a local person, you're going to be able to give them a ticket, which will give them jurisdiction over this court. I think when you're going to run into some problems.
Banks, how would you address that?
Well, you got banks for one thing, and you got two. You got, because the banks don't really own the property; they're not the owner. This whole thing's directed at the owner. And second, you got the absentee owner issue. And it's one thing if somebody is like, you know, abandoned a building here, and then they live in the town, or they live in Skodak, or they live, you know, then we can go out and do it. For the folks that have abandoned property and really abandoned it, you know, they've moved to Florida, they've moved to California, they're no longer here, I think you're going to have a tough time effectively. I mean, we're
even with this?
Yeah. I mean, you're going to mail a ticket to somebody in California.
Well, that's the situation we're having now with the abandoned building. So I was just going to say,
These are great ideas. I know a lot of municipalities are taking a look at this and trying to do this in a coherent way, but it's a tough situation because. If you put the sanctions on the property itself, if the property is abandoned, the person doesn't care. In other words, if they sort of gave it up and they stopped paying taxes and the taxes have accumulated.
But they usually owe money on it, so the banks end up with the property.
Right.
But so this is really an encouragement to the banks.
It's got to somehow push the banks forward more than what you do it now.
What I haven't seen addressed in any of these things, because the same thing that we're talking about here is moving forward in the state legislature, or is being discussed in the state legislature, which is to impose liability for maintenance on the banks. Okay, the problem is I'm not sure what the legal basis for that is at this point in time. In other words, the bank is a lien holder until they actually foreclose on the property and take the property back. They don't own it. They're just like a lien holder. Like, maybe you gave your first bank mortgage to Pioneer Savings Bank. Well, what if you gave a second mortgage to Beneficial? They got a responsibility to come in and mow the lawn. I mean, I think it's a little shaky long term. But I know they're looking at it at the state level. I know it's been discussed really, really intently right now. So
could
we'll
you
see.
Could you look into that for us? Do you hear anything on it?
I'll be there.
Oh, okay.
In a peripheral role, that's why I know about it. So that's why I know what they're trying to do.
Yes.
But I'm not sure whether they're going to reach agreement.
They're not agreeing on much.
No, there's all kinds of different pieces going on about, you know, how you do it. So.
Anything else on? Want to bring up? All right, so we'll take a look at this. I know We may have to adjust some of the other, I think there's some limiting in our existing local laws that limit some of the fines and things we'll have to check.
You've got some provisions in here for the vacant building that becomes a public hazard. We already have a public hazard way of doing that. You know, we have a separate piece of the code now that allows us to just demolish buildings. We can do that already, so I don't know if you want to put another overlay on that about demolishing vacant buildings. We wouldn't be demolishing if they weren't vacant.
Well, we don't really, you know, I mean, we want to see them safe, but I mean.
There's at least a couple that, at this point, they're demolishing themselves.
Yeah. If you want someone to get hurt, like yeah. Edge or something.
Right.
Like that.
Yeah. I mean, and there are a couple like that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we have, yeah, those got sent out too.
Yeah.
When did we get those? I didn't even read them.
June 1st.
No, yeah, but these are
the specs.
The specs.
Yeah.
So, did he add the ones about, because I sent him over something about adding the questions that he said, yeah. So I asked him for, so these are not the updated specs yet.
Okay.
So this was the preliminary. So what we're talking about here is we received preliminary specs from Urswama to rebid the garbage pickup. Matt asked for, Matt's the head of, or the person at Urswama who we speak with. He's with the representative there. And he asked us for some additional information that Missy needed to provide a few things, and he asked about would we like to change our collection day from Tuesday. So I did get back to him with that information, and Missy, did you look at the demographic stuff that he asked for? Population, number of residents.
When did he ask that?
When he sent the spec out.
Oh,
it was on page 3. It was highlighted.
I sent him his other stuff.
I can send that to him.
Okay, so we'll get that information to him, and then he's looking at doing the bidding next month. So that's what we talked about, doing it over the summer. So, and I had asked him for collect a base bid based on a Tuesday pickup, just like we have now. And if they had a day that the village would realize is some savings, that they could propose that as an alternate for our decision as to whether we wanted to accept a different day or not. So we could look at that. Because I know there's been talk at least out there that Tuesday's a very popular day, and therefore it's an expensive day. So we might be able to get pickup on a different day for less money. So I'm not opposed to saving money if someone makes it worthwhile. Yes, Charlie, I know you're working on that.
We had a meeting last night, and the current tonnage pricing is $58.75, which is $20 cheaper within the last 3 years. So. Everybody's getting basically all the municipalities are getting a pretty good bargain. The other thing is that there was monies left over that are going to be reimbursed to all the municipalities based on the size of the municipalities. And the reason being is the overage was because of the fuel prices being so stagnant and low. So. It was brought up by the auditors that we had an overage, and it was suggested that we reimburse each of the municipalities with the overage. So if we're paying this kind of money at this rate, it certainly is going to be lower based on each municipality. So, but we are paying. The amount of money that the tonnage is being, it's $20 cheaper than it was. And I'm not trying to build up or swamp it because I'm on it. It's just that, and the board certainly can look at another day. And I don't know why everybody on Tuesday wants to get their garbage empty. You know,
it's because of the weekend.
I really don't know. I mean, for all the municipalities.
Weekend trash.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know what the logic was behind that, but there will be some savings coming forth because of the overage from last year. So I don't know what that number is. We won't know. Matt's the one that does the figure, so. But there will be some reduced pricing.
Okay. Good. So, have you talked to Matt at all about the bidding and all that stuff?
No, because I told him that the board was going to meet tonight, so I didn't know what was going on or when the board is planning on making a decision. And that was it. I know there's another municipality coming up also besides Nassau, so.
I think to answer your question about Tuesdays, when we both came onto the board, the topic of discussion was that the people having parties on the weekend during the summertime, they didn't want their trash smelling.
Right.
And so the Tuesday, it was kept Tuesdays, but in the wintertime, it was a different story. But, I mean, from May to September, if we can get a substantial savings, we might want to keep the lid closed on our trash cans.
And you guys should keep the door open on that, too. I mean, maybe another day might be advantageous to the village or a couple of municipalities that are the same. So I don't know.
I think Ursulama knows collection twice a week.
Well, we're going to, definitely ask for, an alternate day and a price on an alternate day. So we're definitely going to discuss that.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Whatever it takes. So, anything else? All right, so we should be getting the finalized bid specs, I would think, in the next couple of weeks. Because they'll be going out probably the beginning of July or end of the month.
Okay.
So this stuff here has got to be...
Right. So we don't have to approve these bid specs before they go out?
I don't know. It's the same bid spec as last time.
Yeah, there are some. It looks like there are some vestiges of old things about recyclables being stored here on the on the property here, and just seem to be
okay.
I can just identify those and let Matt know.
All right. Well, we'll go through them and.
Is that when they had the old roll-off?
We used to have the roll-off.
The language is still in here. And
I thought at one time the board decided to eliminate all of that and. I thought we did that.
Yeah, but it's still in the bid spec, so I just got to get it out of there.
Okay.
See, I only looked at the hundred.
Okay.
But I will. I'll look a little closer.
I'll send it to Missy.
Oh, okay.
Because I got the highlighted stuff I took care of too. So.
She'll send it to Matt.
Yep. I'll get that to you tomorrow, Missy.
Okay.
All right. So let's talk about the cyber insurance. We want to do on that. Don't all jump at once.
I don't know.
Somebody make a motion.
So many things you can worry about. It's just one more thing you're worrying about, I don't know. It's more money.
It's a two.
I don't have it personal. Does anybody have personal? If we're going to do it for the village. So I don't know if it's worth it or not, but.
But you get paid through your check. You get paid through your
trade. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Get direct deposit.
Yep. Everybody does.
So
yeah.
Any of that.
It's a
pull.
Oh, he does now.
And any of that can be latched onto. So.
Yeah, I know. You worry about that in your personal life, too, but who goes and gets it?
My daughter's been three times this year. So, it happens. But
it happens.
Make the motion. Let's do it. We'll talk about them.
It's just for the record. It's about a 2% increase in the price. So
it's about $900 something dollars, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
$876.
$900.
$900.
$900. I mean, you know, I think we have to think about the larger group. We're not just protecting sort of ourselves. We're protecting, or this is sort of protection against from liability for the whole village. You know, everyone who pays taxes would be protected by this in terms of what happens here. It's not like you get personal insurance.
Regardless, it's a box.
Has it happened at all in any other municipalities? Or, I mean, is this something that's been prevalent out there? Tom, you know,
I wouldn't want to be the first one, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
I make a motion that we add the cyber protection to the our insurance policy.
I mean, as far as records, we have records dating back very, very far, so, you know.
I'll second that.
Okay, it's a motion by Randy, seconded by Guy, to add the cyber insurance to our insurance policy. Any discussion?
No, except for the fact that I actually, if I'm going to be responsible for people's banking accounts, I actually think that we should be doing this.
And didn't
I don't want to be sued.
Didn't we do something sort of like this? We purchased something for our computers and stuff to try to help years ago, and then we updated it too.
Just virus protection. Firewall, probably.
But that doesn't protect us.
Well, it's not insurance. Yeah, it's only insurance. Sure.
That's more of a defensive. This is kind of an after the fact.
Yeah, this is an after the fact, too. You got to realize so.
Yeah. All right. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed?
Abstain.
Okay. Motion's carried. So I will notify our insurance guy. We will take that. Next item on the agenda is the TA grant. We want to approve $1,000.
I'll make a motion to approve $1,000 from Fund 6989.4 Economic Opportunity to match the 5% of the $20,000 grant for the technical assistance if we do receive the grant.
Second.
Second by Guy. Any discussion on that motion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? That motion is carried. Okay, am I forgetting anything?
I don't think so.
Before I move to public comment?
Yeah.
That's it? Okay. Open floor to public comment. Go ahead, Kurt.
Can you refresh my memory when the village board voted affirmatively to support the rail trail? I know there was a resolution.
Yes, there was.
Do you remember how long ago that was?
2 years ago? It was in July of last year.
July of last year?
Yeah, the board meeting, the July board meeting.
Because I know that, you know, you're on record for supporting it.
Yeah. I say I'm against it. I'm just...
Josh?
Just a couple of things. I'm glad you're bringing up the chicken thing before it becomes too big of a problem. I think a lot of communities have addressed this, and I do believe that the regulated approach is probably the right one for one reason, and I didn't hear it brought up tonight, but I think that, you know, it's been said that we are a food desert, and urban homesteading is kind of a growing trend, and, you know, it can be a problem. Things can get out of hand. Getting ahead of them is the right decision, I think. And I think, you know, if it's a noise issue, maybe our noise ordinance can deal with that. Getting rid of the roosters, keeping them enclosed, I think are very reasonable approaches to this. And if after that it does become a problem, I do think it's totally appropriate to revisit the regulation and address it accordingly. But I think this type of thing should be encouraged in a reasonable manner where it does not impact neighbors, and finding that kind of middle ground or that walking that fine line should be the approach the village should take. So I appreciate that you're bringing this up now before it's really before too many neighbors have complained about it. Regarding the pursuit of two grants at the same time, first of all, I think that you should be congratulated or should be thanked for cultivating relationships with the business community here in town. I don't know any of these people well, and I've met maybe several of them. But from what I do know, there's a history of kind of resentment against the village government here, and trying to rebuild that relationship, I think, is a good start in kind of improving things. And I think that the Main Street issue is the worst issue that needs to be dealt with on a shorter term, but I will say from what I've understood and we've done work on rail trails in my professional life, and the presence of a rail trail in the community actually is known to enhance the business environment as well as the residential environment. And I think it would be a good idea in support of the business and for obviously the recreational reasons to kind of pursue that at the same time. So, you know, financial issues notwithstanding.
That's the only question. Again, I'm not opposed to it. It's just the finances is what I'm looking for. If we're looking to spend money, we have to spend it more effectively and efficiently for our Main Street and for, you know, the areas where people are going to, you know, see on a regular basis. But, you know, if we can come up with the money or come up with a plan, I'm not opposed to it, you know. So.
And I don't disagree that it is a large investment, but I do think you will see the return on that investment. I guess that's the point I'm trying to make. The business community will, and in turn, the village government will. I think there's no doubt about that. Like the village of Milliken, for example,
I was just going to bring that up.
Dutchess County is a very similar environment to this. They have a hub for their rail trail right there in the village, right next to businesses. So that village kind of is the starting point for a lot of people traveling in either direction. And I've been there and I've ridden it. And there's a pizza place right next door. It does very well.
Nice diner, too.
I visited there, yeah. So, I mean, you know, Stewart's could be a perfect place to have a parking lot hub for a recreational rail trail where people could actually travel to Nassau to ride their bikes in either direction and then get a bike to eat before they head home or vice versa. So
or an ice cream.
A little, just food for thought.
Yeah, like I said, I'm not against it. It's just a matter of finding finances for it. So.
Or an ice cream.
And then the last thing, I'm not really certain about this, but I do believe that the building inspector has the permitting authority to issue or deny permits in floodplains. So regarding the dumping of the bricks and the other debris in the floodplain, you may want to look into whether or not the building inspector or the code enforcement officer has the authority to enforce codes within a floodplain. If those bricks are indeed in a floodplain, not just, you know, next to the river, but if that is considered to be a 100-year floodplain, he may have the authority to do some sort of enforcement there. So, because I doubt, working for DEC and knowing that this is probably a small issue for them, they probably would not come out here to look.
No? Okay.
I mean, I could be wrong, but it might be a while before. It's definitely better to deal with it at the local level if you can. Authority. So that may be the first question Kevin could ask, is whether or not he has that authority.
Okay, floodplain, 100-year floodplain. Okay.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Maxine?
Yes. Oh, go ahead. No, go ahead. Well, I would love to be able to wholeheartedly support the rail trail, but when I did some research on the original document that was funded by East Greenbush, Skodak, the village, and the town of Nassau, the amount that they came up to construct rail trail 3.5 mile segment, four of them. The estimate was, now this document, I don't have the date of document, I didn't download it for today, but maybe our grant committee expert Josh master plan committee expert can elucidate some of these facts, but the amount that they estimated to complete the basically 14 to 15 mile trail paved would be approximately $9.5 million, and it was about paved, and if unpaved it was about $5 million. The second concern that I had was a whole list of environmental, including wetlands, concerns of negative impact. So we have two kinds of water areas. One was wetlands and one was like a drainage plain. And the third area of concern was the historic buildings and aspects of the village. The fourth area of concern was archaeological areas that might be impacted. The fourth area of concern was in some endangered animal species and also plant species might be impacted. The other issue that I had read about was the other issue that they mentioned was that this is a NatGrid claim ownership, but it also, and we have an attorney here to correct, but it's also an easement and it abuts my property among others. So we're talking about a $2.4 million, according to this document, which was several, about 2012, but I don't have the date in front of me, so I'm not sure. And if anybody knows, please let me know. Otherwise, I'll download it. So we're talking about a cost that's much higher than the $50,000 grant, I believe, that is being sought after at this point. But I think, secondly, in importance, is the idea that NatGrid is ceding their obligation to maintain, and that includes insurance liability for that entire tract area that will be developed. And we have to maintain the insurance cost for liability, and who is going to staff, we would have to staff and add additional people on our payroll. Maybe there will be an argument for increasing the police force or getting a ranger. I wish I could do that at this point in my life, but all I'm saying is $50,000 is, according to the document that I read, is nothing. This was the original study done by those four communities, as I mentioned. They had all the documents and all the maps and everything. I'm sorry to bring it to me or with me today, but I can do that next month. So I'm just asking that if, Mr. Porte, if you were going to have your grant completed, your request by next month, to please just give it just a little bit extra time so I can get some more information to you regarding these reservations I have. And also, I need some comments from the board next month to answer the questions of liability and insurance to maintain and take over the management of this rail trail. So please take that in consideration, and I wanted to know whether it was the Rensselaer Land Trust that is the oversight group that you're working with, or what's the name of the group? I know that there was a spokesperson here. I don't remember when he first came, but maybe you can tell me. But what group was that?
I can answer all your questions, actually, most of them.
Okay.
So it was, the group consists of the Rensselaer Land Trust,
the
Columbia County Land Conservancy.
And the second one?
Columbia County Land Conservancy.
Yes.
They're supporting this with personnel. And we had someone from the New York Planning Federation. And then the gentleman you're talking about was Brian Zweig, a local person. Family's been here for many years.
Right.
He was a former county legislator,
right.
And now he works as an independent consultant. And he, as well as some of the other folks on this group, were actually the ones who put together that feasibility study.
Right.
They did it. And the number for the entire trail is as you said, $5 to $9 million. Now, we're talking about the Village of Nassau. We're talking about
3.5 miles.
No, it's 1 mile. It's a 1 mile segment.
How much?
It's a 1 mile segment.
Where would it go from, Guy?
That's still $1 million.
It goes along the right. And this grant is the planning grant that will address all the concerns about the environmental, the archaeological. That's why we have the National Grid won't allow you to use their property unless you've all done all these things. So you have, that's why we need a grant to get all the engineering work to even get permission, essentially. After that, there are many, many, many grants available for rail trails. It's probably if Josh was here, he could tell you, but you know, Albany just had a federal grant to do there the rail trail that connected, that went down in Del Mar, you know, went along the Albany rail trail there. And there's just so many opportunities, but we can't get it going until we do this first part of it. That's why, you know, it's so important to start this. And the actual entire trail, the 15-mile trail,
yes,
has been stalled because no one's willing to do it. No one's willing to be the first ones. And when Brian came here for the opportunity, he came here and said, look, we're still here, we're still willing to do this. And the board said, hey, we're willing to take this. Now, we may not get this planning grant, and then, you know, what? Just like last year, we didn't get the planning grant. You know, so it doesn't move forward. But I don't see why we wouldn't try. I mean, we have, as by the 15th, you'll be able to read in the master plan, it's one of the sort of types of things that this community wants. So, you know, moving in that direction, I don't see how that is problematic. If we can't afford it, we can't afford it. That's, you know, just like anything else. If you can't do it, you can't do it. But we won't know what those prices are for, what those costs are until we've done this work. And so we're trying to get as much of it as we can funded through the grant and hopefully in kind from other sources. So.
Also, the costs have gone up. I mean, that was several years ago when that, you might know the year. Do you know the
2011
year?
Was the 2011. Feasibility study.
Sure,
it probably didn't come to the village until the next year. But.
Okay, so approximately that time, that's 4 years. We all know how costs have gone up. So you're talking approximately, I'm just going to use round numbers, make it easy. So this 1 mile, which goes in back of my house, and other neighbors. I know that the board approved it, but we don't know how people feel having a, basically a, what we hope to be is a well-used trail. And the thing is, people are using it. I know it's not connected with anything, but people, if it's mowed and maintained, and they have to because NACRID has to service the power line, if it's maintained, it is used as a walking trail. It is used as a biking trail. Somebody used it as an all-terrain vehicle, which stopped after one or two times. But I'm just evaluating also the environmental impact. If there's damage done to that wetland area, the money is not going to fix it. It can gloss over it. They can say, well, you know, we're gonna let it happen. It is right next to a sensitive environmental area, and this was brought, if you're familiar with the study, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And I haven't read the draft, but I did read the SWOT document from the master plan, which was online, and that's, threats, weaknesses, strengths, weaknesses,
opportunities,
and threats and opportunities. Okay. And one of the counters to the rail trail was that maybe people don't want it right in back of their area. And what is NACRID going to get out of this? And why should we, and how are we going to manage? We don't have enough people in this village, and we don't have a surplus of money in this village, as much as I would love to see another park developed. There's so much we can do with $50,000, and the 1 point plus, given escalation of costs, 1 million plus that it is going to cost to get this done. We have so much else that needs to be done. I think we should reconsider this very carefully, because once we start building in that back area, and have you done a survey of this, maybe be part of it if you would need to get this grant. Have you done a survey of the people who live here and abut this area to see if they want this in their backyard?
That's part of the planning process. Yeah. All right. And so, you know, and I appreciate your concerns completely. You know, I'm very aware of environmental issues, and I think that when trails are developed and planned for, they take all those things in consideration. Do they do them? Is it done adequately every time? I cannot comment on that. But I would say if we were to get the funding to do the planning, that we would take that, and I'd appreciate your input on that if it was to even get to that point. So I appreciate the concern, and I would hope that you would be as supportive of this sort of economic opportunity as you are of the other economic opportunities that we have.
And, you know, and we're just, I mean, this, okay. The funding that he's asking for right now is strictly for planning. So, you know, it's not a decision as to whether we're going to go ahead with construction or, you know, whether it's going to go anywhere. It's going to be for planning to assess the environmental issues that you're talking about, to survey the residents, to make sure we have support within the village for doing that kind of stuff. So that's what he's asking for, and it hasn't been decided yet either. But and we hear your input. That's your input, so we understand that.
To build a couple of those bridges, it wouldn't cost $1.5 million, or even it could be.
Well, we haven't addressed that. That hasn't even come up, and where that funding would come from. I mean, you know, you can't assume that the village is going to pay for that because that would be a no. It's a no deal.
Right.
But. I just want to put it in perspective. It's baby steps, one step at a time, and the first step is planning.
My question is, you know, I understand where Maxine's coming from. You know, having people walk behind your house might be an issue. Is there any way, Guy, prior to going after the planning and spending that $9,000 or whatever it's going to cost on planning to find out if the residents on the rail trail are interested, at least? Because if you have opposition to that, that could cause a lot of problems if you have five or six neighbors who, you know, are totally opposed to having people walk in their backyard, you know?
Well, it's not in their backyard, so it's...
It abuts my backyard.
But it's not in your backyard.
Well, you know what I mean.
Is it in your backyard? I'm just asking.
My boundary, it is my boundary. There was no development there when I moved in, and it is a sensitive area.
Right.
It is it is a wetlands, and there is another term for that sensitive area. I don't have an aquifer, I think is what they called it. I don't remember. I don't have the document. I read it once, and I just remembered as much as I could. But that is, it's not just the money. I have walked trails from all corners of this country, and I don't know one of them, and maybe Mr. Clay does, but I don't know one of them that goes parallel to power lines. I have walked from one corner of the other and two other continents. I have walked trails and biked. And I don't remember one of them that goes parallel to a power line. And I am concerned about doing business with NatGrid. I know you want to study it. Maybe that's the thing to do. But I think it should proceed with caution. And $50,000 can go a long way in another direction. And maybe the reason it hasn't started is because people are concerned about doing business with NatGrid. As far as I'm concerned, that's the worst business partner this village could probably entertain doing business with. Here it is, we're trying to get rid of them and be solar energy and do and try to be independent of NatGrid, and we're going to create a partnership with them.
Okay.
Not a good idea, and I don't believe in pavement. If anything, the natural trail would cost. A natural kind of trail is very easy to maintain.
We're a long way from deciding that, but
okay.
You know, thanks for
you.
I mean, I'm not trying to cut you off or anything, but you know,
it's right. And I didn't want to bring it up, but only I was going to wait for next month, but not if the grant's going to go through. I wanted to bring these issues up, and I wanted it on record. And thank you for listening.
No problem. Do you have something for us?
My comment was on your chickens. It kind of gave you an insight. know. I'm not really familiar.
Would you just give us your name again?
I'm sorry. My name is Sheila Manning.
Sheila Manning, right.
I'm actually from South Carolina, and our state has a agricultural over farming and everything, and they have specific regulations on chickens that trump over all counties and everything. So if there's any concern, you can call them. They'll come and check it out. It kind of gets rid of your responsibility, and you have to go after them. They do it themselves because of the bird flu and everything. So I'm sure your state has it because you do have farming land and you guys sell natural eggs and stuff. Mm-hmm. That's something for you to look into. Like,
and where would you find that?
You go online, see if your New York has agricultural farming regulations.
Eggs and markets, yeah, okay. I'll look in. I'll take a look there.
There are strict laws that's like the government kind of thing, and they can go in and assess what's going on.
I know there's some law about the chickens being a flock bird, and you had to have at least so many of them for, you know, another thing.
I think sale of the eggs too
You get lonely. Okay. I will definitely look into that. But thanks for that.
Poor people for their chickens to go on other people's land. So I mean, right. They will come in and help you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Any other comments, Charlie?
Bob, I just want to let everybody know, especially Missy. Matt will be sending an email as far as a reminder for the pricing on electronics for the village cleanup.
Oh,
I know it's on the village calendar, but if people show up with, regardless what size TVs, I would not want them to be surprised by the pricing.
So they're going to charge for CRTs now?
Now, most of the other electronics are still free. It's just the TV issue, those certain styles,
right?
The TV
issue is the main thing. The recycler has lost money, and Matt is trying to put the recycler at bay that he was originally wanting to charge 25 cents a pound. So anybody that's got one of those old monstrous TVs could be costly. So he's going to send Missy an email as a reminder. Again, it's in the calendar. And the other issue that I have is I would like to have the board, maybe Bob, and it might not be in our jurisdiction. AmeriPride is currently being housed in the old Millbrook building in the back. AmeriPride is a company that cleans uniforms, and I know for a fact our company uses AmeriPride to clean our soil rags, which are laden with acetone solvents. So I don't know where the water is going. I don't know if it mitigates to some place, but I'd like to have someone from the board take a look at that, because it is a laundry service for various companies, including ours. Not that I want to throw them under the bus, but I don't know how close is when the discharge of the effluent out of that area affects either the Malaysia Kill or
The aquifer.
Are they actually cleaning things there?
Yes.
Oh, they are?
Yes.
Oh.
And I know for a fact that we provide solids and acid, so, which is a carcinogen. So,
not
maybe someone from Skodak can check it out.
Okay, I'll send Dennis a letter.
What's that?
I'll send the supervisor a letter.
Yeah, just, you know, maybe it's nothing, and maybe, I don't know where the water comes, but I know they're cleaning over there. I know that.
It seems to be pretty low profile.
Well, that's because it's way in the back.
Okay, anything else?
Charlie is right, though. If you look on your village calendar, The electronics recycling one does have the TV prices on it this time. Thanks, Charlie. I never even noticed that.
Are they updated?
Yeah, we didn't have prices for them last year.
Yeah, but I think what Charlie's saying is that they're going to be more.
No, he's just going to send Missy an email as a reminder, so whomever's going to be working that day, they know.
Yeah, it says $10, $20,
and $30. Yeah, so if people show up, there's no surprises, that's all.
Okay.
I think all the other electronics are free.
Well, I guess I'll have to have my tape measure just so I can see how many inches these TVs are.
Well, believe it or not, other than just, there was the woman in Pittsfield, or Pittstown, did that.
Alrighty.
I'm all set.
What's that? Yes.
I just want to thank Mr. Forte for giving the business owners an opportunity for a tax break if they do improve their businesses, because that was brought up at our meeting. So thank you for considering that. That is a concern for some of our business owners.
Yeah, we talked about that. Let's get that.
We'll be talking about it, yeah. So we want to get all this together.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Process.
Okay. I'd like to thank everyone for attending. This is a very productive meeting tonight. Thank you all for your input and participation. I'd like to audit bills numbers 1 through 24 in the amount of $12,413.42 in the general fund and $47,885.76 in the water fund.
Make a motion.
Motion by Guy, second by Randy. Any questions on the motion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion to adjourn by Randy.
Second.
Second by Guy. All those in favor?